The primary vote in Wisconsin's campaign for state Supreme Court justice happens next week. We're inviting each candidate to talk with us about their priorities and positions regarding Wisconsin's highest court and the role they'd serve if elected. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. The top two vote getters in February 18th's primary advanced to the general Supreme Court election in April. And just like our conversation yesterday on the morning show, your calls are welcome today and tomorrow as we bring on different candidates. What questions do you have for someone who wants to serve on Wisconsin State Supreme Court for a decade? What do you want to say about the court's recent rulings or the way justices approach cases? The number to call is 800-642-1234. You can also email your ideas, your thoughts, your questions to ideas@wpr.org. Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky and Marquette University Law Professor Ed Filone are in the primary. So is today's guest, Daniel Kelly. He's a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He's also the incumbent appointed by Governor Scott Walker in 2016. Justice Kelly, thank you for being here on the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks so much. It's great to be on your show.
You're campaigning for your first 10-year term after Governor Walker appointed you to the bench 4 years ago. Why should voters keep you on the state's high court?
Well, I think that has a lot to do with the judicial philosophy that I've been bringing to the court since 2016 and that I have promoted since pretty much my entire career. And that has to do with an understanding of our responsibility being simply to apply the law as it is, as it's written, right? So when we look at the Constitution, that's a document that the people of Wisconsin have adopted and maintained for a very long time. And our responsibility to that is to be faithful to the text that the people have adopted and maintained. We apply that to the cases in front of us with neither fear nor favor for any party or position, and we simply use that to come to our judgment in the case and call that a good day's work. So it's all about the law. We don't make the law. We don't ignore the law. We don't play favorites with the law. We just take it as it's given to us, and we use that to decide our cases. And when we do that, then we're faithful to the Constitution, and we're faithful to the oath that we take, and most importantly, we're faithful to the people of Wisconsin.
What happens then as a constitutional textualist, as you're saying, we look at the text of it, how do you address cases then where a legal question is whether one part of the Constitution trumps another part of the Constitution?
Yeah, you know, that's actually, that very rarely happens. If you look at the Constitution in terms of what the words and the phrases meant when they were adopted, developed and adopted as a very coherent whole. So I describe myself as a textual originalist because I think that our responsibility is to look at the meaning of those words and phrases when they were adopted, because they were trying to convey a very specific thing. And we have to understand that, of course, language, the way we use language, changes over time. But those words and phrases had a very specific meaning at the time that they were adopted. So we do our research, we do our homework, and we figure out what did it mean, what was the original public understanding of those words and phrases, and then we apply that. And if you do that, then you don't have to worry about different parts of the Constitution contradicting itself. That only really comes up when we import our personal preferences into the Constitution, and that eventually twists the meaning of the Constitution enough that it starts contradicting itself. So our role is to really set all that aside.
And so does that mean that when you are looking at the text of the laws, you're also taking into account evidence like legislative draft documents or public hearing testimony to better understand what lawmakers were thinking when they drafted this law?
Well, it depends. There is some use to material like that. So if we don't know what a word or phrase was publicly understood to mean, and we look at contemporaneous documents, both inside and outside the legislature, and we discover from that what those words meant, then we can have reference to that. What we don't do is look for legislative intent. So it's important that we just look at what the legislature enacted. You know, if you look at legislature like ours, we've got 99 assemblymen, we've got 33 senators and one governor. And, you know, you get that number of people together, there might be, 132, 133 different reasons for why someone voted for or against the bill. And there's really no way for us to peer inside their heads to figure out what each one of them intended by their vote and what they intended the words to accomplish. All we can look at is what they actually voted on, and those are the words of the bill. So we're looking just for that meaning, but we don't look for some unexpressed intent of some individual legislators.
Now that we've touched on your judicial philosophy, let's step back to the campaign aspect of it. We want to know, why are you a better candidate than your opponents there, Marquette University Law Professor Ed Filone and Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky?
Well, I think one part of it has to do with the judicial philosophy that I've just described. So both of my opponents, they have a very different view of the court. So they believe that their responsibility is to, in their words, update the Constitution to reflect today's values and principles and whatnot. And I think that responsibility belongs to the people of Wisconsin. You know, the Constitution has a provision to change it. So if the people of Wisconsin decide that the circumstances today are sufficiently different, that our basic framework document needs to be changed, there is a methodology for doing that. And interestingly, it has nothing to do with judges, right? So the Constitution lays out how that document can be changed, and it doesn't give any role to the courts in doing that. So, but they look at the Constitution as more of a, I believe they describe it as a living document, something that they can reinterpret over and over again. And I think the problem there is that it brings their personal values and personal politics into the mix in deciding a case. And I think that's a significant problem. And then I think the other thing is it's a question of experience. I think that I have the broadest and deepest experience of the three of us. I have worked in the government sector. I've worked in the private sector, both in the profit, the nonprofit. I've worked in a small firm. I've started a firm of my own. I've also practiced in one of the oldest and most respected law firms in the state of Wisconsin. I've argued several cases to the Wisconsin Supreme Court before I came to the court, all of them successfully. I've handled innumerable appeals across Wisconsin and across the country as well. And in the circuit courts, I've represented individuals in small companies and large companies in courts all over the state of Wisconsin. I've litigated contracts, UCC, banking, insurance, professional liability, real estate, land use, administrative law, constitutional law, and a host of other areas of the law. And on top of that, I've been a Supreme Court justice since 2016. In that capacity, I've reviewed thousands of our fellow Wisconsinites' cases. I've heard hundreds of oral arguments, and I've written opinions on some of the state's most consequential cases. So I think that package of experience is what the people of Wisconsin are looking for in their justices.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Justice Daniel Kelly. He's campaigning for a 10-year term on the court. The top two finishers in next week's primary advance to an April election. And we wonder, what questions do you have for Justice Kelly? What do you want to know about his qualifications or positions? You can call 800-642-1234. That number again is 800-642-1234. Justice Kelly, in her stump speech this election, Judge Karofsky says you always rule on the side of right-wing interests, and she's concerned that that's demonstrating an unfair bias in the cases before the court. I wonder if that's the case, or if you can point to some rulings where you've joined that fell against right-wing interests in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, we've been trying to unpack that statement for some time now. I think we've finally figured out what she's going on about with that accusation. I think what she's referring to is that there is a particular attorney who's argued several cases to our court, and he's done a very good job, and he's been very successful. So she kind of let it slip in the last forum that we had that really that's what she's talking about. She's not talking about parties. She's talking about a lawyer. So obviously, you know, I think everybody in Wisconsin understands the difference between a party and a lawyer. And she's worried that we rule, that we agree with an attorney's arguments, apparently. But as far as ruling for right-wing interests, I looked at the cases that I think she's referring to. And let me just go through them real quick, because I don't hear any right-wing interests in it. So apparently one of the cases that she's concerned about dealt with taxpayers in the city of Eau Claire who objected to the tax dollars being given to wealthy redevelopers to redevelop a part of the city of Eau Claire. Another one apparently is a family who objected having their home searched as a precondition to challenging a tax assessment. There's another that some taxpayers who wanted to ensure that the DPI was following a new piece of legislation, and so they asked for a declaratory judgment on that. There was a cemetery owner who wanted to buy a funeral home. There was a law that prevented that, and he challenged that law.
And so we just have a moment left before we have to take a quick break. And so I wonder, are those cases that you're citing, you say that you joined necessarily against right-wing interests, or you didn't favor them when you're citing them?
Well, I don't know where the right-wing interests are.
Okay.
Like I said, I mean, these are taxpayers. These are, you know, a cemetery owner, a university professor who objected to being fired in violation of his contract. So I don't know what she's talking about when she says that we always rule in favor of right-wing interests, because I think those are the cases she's referring to.
Okay. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate and current Justice Dan Kelly stays with us. He's making the case to get your vote in next week's nonpartisan primary so he can get on the general election ballot in April. What do you want to ask him? What do you want to know before casting your vote? What issues do you consider in Supreme Court elections? You have a line at 800-642-1234. Again, we're speaking with Justice Daniel Kelly. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for being with us here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. Three people want to be a justice on Wisconsin State Supreme Court, but only two of them make it past next week's primary election. We're talking to all of the primary candidates here on the Ideas Network. Incumbent Justice Daniel Kelly is with us ahead of the February 18th vote. And we wonder, what questions do you have for High Court candidate Dan Kelly? What do you want to know about his qualifications or his positions? You can ask that question at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Justice Dan Kelly currently serves on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And Justice Kelly, on the campaign trail, you've pushed against the idea of the court rushing to adopt a rule saying when justices should remove themselves from cases. The phrase you used was political mischief. You were concerned about that potential.
Yeah, that's right.
What does that look like? What is political mischief that worries you?
Yeah, so what I'm worried about is individuals and interests making contributions and making allegations of favoritism in a way that could potentially force a justice off a case where there is no conflict of interest, there is no reasonable worry that he wouldn't be able to be impartial in the way he applies the law. And I think it fundamentally misunderstands the nature of our elective judiciary and the responsibility and good sense of the people of Wisconsin. So I'm always interested in ways that we can increase people's confidence in our courts and make them confident that they can find justice and that that's what we do every single day. So I'm always open to new ideas on that. But when those new ideas come, we need to balance that against what I explained, the potential political mischief that certain members of the court would try to push another member off. We've seen some propositions over the last number of years, but the problem is they're really thoroughly inconsistent with having an elective judiciary. There would just be too many instances in which justices would not be able to sit on a case because of a desired limitation on contributions that the people of Wisconsin have rejected. So I think this sort of thing belongs squarely in the hands of the people of Wisconsin in two ways. One, in adopting laws that they think are appropriate for their participation in the elective process, and so they don't so they aren't disqualified of having someone on the court who's been elected, preventing them from sitting on a case. And then number two, paying close attention to those people they have elected to make sure that they are conducting themselves in a way that they exercise the function of the Supreme Court, deciding cases without any reference to outside influences, and make sure that they're actually doing that properly.
And in the absence of those laws or those rules that would exist, then the onus is on justices on the court. So what are some examples of when you've decided to recuse yourself from a case when you realized that there was a conflict of interest there?
Yeah, so one just came up recently. So there was a challenge to certain voter rolls. There were people who there was indication that they had moved and not re-registered their to vote. And I looked at that, and you know, it appears that it would affect potentially up to 200 some odd thousand voters. And I looked at that, and I thought, well, you know, I believe that I can hear that case. I can apply the law to those facts and come to a judgment that has nothing to do with outside influence. However, you know, I am a candidate in an election that that case could potentially affect. And I thought, well, it's too much of an ask to ask the people of Wisconsin to look at me and say, well, can I be confident that he's going to decide this case without reference to the personal impact that it might have on his campaign. And I thought that was too much of an ask to make of the people of Wisconsin, and so I decided to recuse myself.
And simply, if someone donates $20,000 to your campaign, the maximum allowed amount, would you recuse yourself from cases involving them if they were parties in the future?
I don't think it's a blanket rule, no, because of a couple things. One, this is the limit that the people of Wisconsin have decided that they think is appropriate for a Supreme Court justice to receive in their campaign. So I don't think it's a blanket rule that that would require recusal. What I do think is that each justice has to carefully consider that as they look at who made the contribution, under what circumstances. Because I can tell you, you know, I've had some people make contributions to our campaign that have been major sacrifices for them. I mean, it may not have been a really large dollar amount, might not have been a $5,000 or $10,000 contribution, but it was a significant sacrifice to make the contribution. That's going to weigh on me more, perhaps, than somebody, you know, who gives a $20,000 contribution, the maximum allowable. But, you know, that represents the interest on their bank account for a month, right? So it really is going to be more specific to the situation as I look at it.
All right. We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Justice Daniel Kelly. He's campaigning for a 10-year term on the court. And Larry from Sun Prairie has a question for us. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Just a quick question. Are judges, including Supreme Court justices, are they exempt from the open records law for requests like, I want to see a week's worth of email? And that's my question.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Justice Kelly, what's your response?
Well, Larry, that's a great question. You know, we've actually never been squarely presented with that question. And so I don't want to make any kind of a conclusory statement on that, because that's an issue that may come before the court, and I want to make sure that if it does, that I haven't prejudged the issue. I can say this: I've received open records requests, and I've always responded to them. I've never withheld anything on the basis that, you know, maybe the judiciary is not subject to that law. So we've always been responsive.
All right.
And as far as I'm aware, I think all the other members have been responsive as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Justice Kelly. And we should talk partisanship. I mean, this court is technically nonpartisan, and you're not running with political labels. But President Donald Trump, who is a Republican, mentioned his support for you in a campaign rally here in Wisconsin. What is the proper role for political parties in this race?
Yeah, that's a great question. You're right. It is nonpartisan. It's really important that it's nonpartisan.
And yet it looks partisan, though, from the outside because of these endorsements.
Right. So our responsibility as candidates for the court is to speak about the law and actually perform our responsibilities in a way that does not have any partisan slant to it. And so, you know, what the parties do and say in other outside groups, you know, I think our responsibility as members of the judiciary is to respect their exercise of their First Amendment rights. So if they want to endorse candidates, if they want to support candidates, if they want to work on behalf of candidates, I think that's all good and fair because that's all activity that's protected by the First Amendment. And I'm adamant about those kinds of protections, that the people are free to do that as they wish or free not to as they wish. So I think when it comes to our role in court, though, one of the reasons that I decide cases the way I do and the way I write opinions is to make sure that people know that those partisan politics don't make their way into the court and the work that we do. So when I decide a case or write an opinion, I start with the law, obviously, that applies to the case. But then I use rigorous logic to move from those premises, the laws, down to the conclusion in that case and in that opinion. And as long as you can build an unbroken chain of logic between the law and the conclusion, then the people of Wisconsin can be confident that the conclusion is required by law and not by anyone's personal preferences or politics. Because as it turns out, logic doesn't care about your politics, right? It simply is. So that's why I think it's so important to write opinions that way, to decide opinions out cases that way, and to write really clearly so that our bosses, our fellow Wisconsinites, can look at the work that we do and be confident that the cases we're deciding are based on nothing but the law.
Justice Kelly, thank you so much for your time today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Daniel Kelly is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He was appointed to the bench in 2016 by Governor Scott Walker. Kelly is in the primary race against Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky and law professor Ed Falone. We've invited all three candidates to talk with us ahead of next week's election. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.